Oh, Roy, I've got the boardies on this morning, the thongs. It's bloody warm out there.
Yeah, it is warm out
there. It's unbelievable.
16 degrees on the way in this morning and a very different morning to earlier in the week.
Oh.
But beautiful stuff. We need it anyway. 21 today, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Great day.
And we've got a big show. It's going to be hot in here this morning. It's Brad Ebert. It'll be in to see if Port Adelaide can go back-to-back with big wins and get them entrenched in the top eight. Limo will join us for a laugh. We're going to continue on our mental health week, and we're going to speak to a man who's heavily involved in a group called SA Brothers, who've got over 20,000 members in South Australia looking after blokes in need.
Do you remember this started for us a couple of weeks ago? We met Didgeridoo Man. He was the fella that chased that intruder down the street and gave him a whack with his didgeridoo. Yeah. And he alerted us to this, that he's a member of the SA Brothers. And yeah, it's a group that meets every week and they do some incredible things. So looking forward to meeting him later on this morning. And by the way, Roo, Triple M's least ugliest, you know, person, fella, whatever. This continues this morning. The
You're
vote.
Under pressure.
Under a little bit of pressure.
Now, see if you can rig it for two rounds in a row.
I couldn't get beaten by Uncle Fester, could I?
Well, it looks like you're a chance.
Did you ever watch The Addams Family as a kid?
I did, yes.
Jars, seriously, he's that ugly. He looks like Uncle Fester. If I lose to him, I'll wear a bag over my head for the rest of my life.
Well, you better find one. You're under pressure.
Oh, come on, vote for us this morning, please. I think you're comfortable. You're beating Bluey, the male model. It's unbelievable.
Just.
Yeah. I've just been told I'm 13 votes in front. So it's
13.
Tight. 13.
Jeez.
Anyway, ruined it here on Triple M.
Please welcome to Roo and Ditch.
Australia Cruiserweight Champion.
You gotta fight!
The Green Machine.
Danny Green.
Now, Roo, we know Danny Green is four-time world champion. We know he's been an unbelievable boxer in his day, but he also does a heck of a lot for the community around Australia with the Stop the Coward Punch campaign, and it's Coward Punch Week as well. So very important that we talk to him. Danny Green, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Very good, Danny. You're taking responsibility for New South Wales winning on the weekend. I saw you in the rooms mucking around with them, having a bit of banter.
Of course. It was all my doing, fellas. And then, no, absolutely no. The boys came down. I've had a bit of an affiliation with the Blues camp over the years and was in the camp in 2010 and 11. And this year when they came to Perth, their performance coach, Hayden Knowles, was my old strength coach in Sydney years ago. He said, "Greeny, Freddie wants you to come down and take the boys for a boxing session." I said, "Yeah, no worries." So we went round in my 12 rounds gym in Scarborough and took the boys through the paces. And man, it was a great session. There was so much electric atmosphere, and I could just smell the boys were going to light them up. So it was just unreal.
It was in Perth on the weekend on Sunday night. It's coming to Adelaide next year, State of Origin as well. What was it like for the punters? They love it?
Oh, you guys are going to love it. It's an incredible atmosphere. Everyone gets involved. You guys will pack it out. Adelaide always packs it out. And it was, it was a fantastic atmosphere. Perth, the new stadium there is a cracker. My son and I, Archie, we got rained on and we didn't care because everyone was having such a good time and the Blues were flogging them, so it was even better.
Tell us about Coward Punch Week. As I said earlier, we've spoken to you about this before, but what's this special week about, Danny?
Oh, look, it's just about raising as much awareness. So I've been doing this campaign for over 6 years now, and this week's culminating in the third annual fundraiser we put on at the Palladium at Crown in Melbourne, who have been a great supporter of the campaign. And it's really just about trying to bombard the public with as much exposure as we can. So similar to the Slip, Slop, Slap campaign, the Drink Driving campaign, the Quit Smoking campaign, who have had campaigns running from the government for over, you know, 3 or 4 decades. And it's just been a massive awareness campaign. Now, people are still, unfortunately, dying from those three related issues, but it's drastically reduced the amount of lives gone, and it's drastically reduced the burden on the health system. So the Coward Punch campaign, I see it in a similar vein as it's a long-term campaign. Violence is never going away, but it's a matter of stemming the violence. And also it's about educating our youth, and this is an educational and a behavioural issue. And so, we're really working hard this week to pump out as much exposure as we can around the campaign. I mean, I think everyone knows about it now. It's been pumping for, you know, quite a while now. And, it's incredible to realise that the vernacular in society has changed. And now people are all using, like, you guys are using the term judges and magistrates are handing down the term, news lead anchors, news front page stories, all referencing the term coward's punch. So yep. It's having great effect.
Yep, for sure. No doubt about that. Now, this was founded, I think, in around about 2012. Have we improved? Are we getting better at it? Are the numbers declining in this sort of area?
Well, it's a matter of awareness. And for me, my campaign is about mass awareness. And without doubt, it's working because every single day I get people, numerous people, and that's not a day goes by when I'm in Australia that I don't hear something from someone or two or three or four people that will say something about the campaign. So everyone knows about it. So it's resonating with the public and everyone's on board. You guys, everyone's on the same page. 99% of Australia knows how to behave themselves. And unfortunately, it's the minority that wreck it for everyone, and it's dangerous. And our kids, my kids are soon to be out in the big bad world, and it frightens me. And so I'm just trying to, you know, I guess educate people and get as much awareness and just hammer people so it's in their psyche. So the culture shifts, because the cultural change.
Mate, you are doing a sensational job. Everyone does know about coward punching and that phrase these days. Hey, just before we let you go, did Harry and Meghan give you a call to see if they could use your name, Archie?
Yeah, oh, look, Harry just, you know, sent me an email. I just said, Haz, I'm busy, mate. I'll get back to you. Then I realised he wanted to use a name. I said, look, mate, let me think about it. And I mulled over for a couple of days and I got back to him and he was a bit upset because Megan answered the phone, so he thought I was trying to cut his grass.
Oh, good on you, Danny. Thanks for joining
All
us.
All right, boys, have a great
good
day.
On you, good on you, mate.
Danny Green and a very special week. Stop the Coward Punch campaign.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
OTR Super Sprint is back at The Bend this August. Get closer to the action with Park and View tickets now at thebend.com.au.
Crows coach Don Pike has all but endorsed Elliot Himmelberg as the man to come in to replace Josh Jenkins. Here he is, Don Pike, talking about the clash with the Cats in Geelong tomorrow night.
We can expect that's going to be the case come Friday night. It's going to be hot early. It's going to be a contested game. And that's the space that, you know, we like to play in. So we look forward to that challenge.
Rue, what about Wayne Miller?
Yeah, they're saying he's not going to play. Now, that's a big loss. I think he's one of their most important players. There'd be people that would say he is the most important player down there, which would make a lot of eyebrows raise. I know that, Dits, but he can play everywhere and he's got speed. And if he's not playing, it's going to open the door potentially for Bryce Gibbs or Chase Jones or maybe David McKay to get a game.
Port Adelaide trained today ahead of selection later on this afternoon. Now, Rue, I just want to mention a name here, Willem Drew. I wonder what's happened to him. I thought he did really well, the chances he got at senior level, and I think he's doing all right at the Magpies. I just wonder if he's close to getting a recall.
Yep, I guess the thing with him, Dits, is he's an inside mid, so he's a stocky, sort of slowish without being disrespectful to him, and they probably want more speed
for
Cole Amon, I would think. So maybe Attlee would get a game there.
All right. Round 15 kicks off tonight at Marvel with Essendon taking on Greater Western Sydney. Rue, what's the story with John Worsfold at the moment?
They're going
hearing?
Hard at him. Well, what I'm hearing is he's under the pump big time. I've actually been told by someone else that, you know, he might, there's every chance he might not be there next year, and he's got a year to go on his contract. So that would be big news, and I guess the next month or two is going to tell us whether he will be or not, starting with Greater Western Sydney tonight. If they get badly beaten tonight, the knives will be getting sharpened.
All right, Triple M or Rock Footy from 6 p.m. Great news for Nick Natanui, Rue.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's only played a week in the Waffle, but he will play for the West Coast Eagles this weekend. So great stuff for footy fans who love watching Nick Nat.
In the NRL, Melbourne Storm and Sydney Roosters touchdown in Adelaide today for the big, big night down at the Oval tomorrow night. And Australia keeps its place at the top of the Cricket World Cup table after Pakistan beat New Zealand this morning at Edgbaston. That is our look at sport. Hey, just a reminder, the OTR Super Sprint is back at the Bend this August, so next month, get closer to the action with trackside camping now available. Go to thebend.com.au.
Yeah, and for Port fans, Brad Ebert will join us in the 7 o'clock hour.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Rue, driving in this morning, I heard Seb Costello with the Triple M news. The headline just, I don't know, our ears pricked up, didn't it?
Well, American planes coming into Australia, landing on regional airstrips with large amounts of drugs, they're saying. Mexican cartels are involved. It's got all the stuff that movies are made of.
This
is what happened in America with all the cocaine back in the 80s.
All right, let's find out more. Seb Costello, good morning.
Good morning, gents. Yeah, this is unbelievable. It comes from the DEA, which is the American Drug Enforcement Administration, and they've tipped off our guys, the AFP, with information that Mexican and Colombian drug cartels, powerful and violent groups, are now using rural airstrips up and down Australia's east coast to land plane loads of cocaine, ice and firearms on Australian soil.
Wow. How long has it been happening for? Have you got any idea? I mean, there's plenty of, we've got a big country and I'm sure those regional airstrips are pretty lonely at times.
Absolutely. Well, the information is fresh and it revolves around the Sinaloa cartel, which people may have heard of, which is named after the Mexican state where it started. That's the mob run by El Chapo. They are people you don't want to mess with. And another group called Los Ketas, who are another Mexican cartel formed by a group of ex-commandos who have now gone from being in the Mexican army to running the drug trade. So, you know, they know a little bit about firearms, that group. What has come about here is it's exposed what is a real loophole in the US aircraft registration system. So in America, you don't have to provide any documentation as to who owns the plane, and you pay a registration fee in some cases of just $5.
You're kidding.
And this allows you, as the operator of an American aircraft, to land your planes in Australia. So we basically don't know who's coming in and what they've got.
Now, I don't want to undermine our own federal police or any of our state police forces, but this sounds a little bit too big for us to handle. I mean, are the Americans helping us here? I thought I heard that the FBI is involved as well.
Absolutely. And by the time the drugs get in the plane and the plane heads for Australia, there's not a lot we can do if we don't already know about it. So what we're actually trying to do is work with agents who are put in Mexico and in America to stop the shipments even getting on the plane in the first place.
Yep.
So back in January, they found an enormous haul of, get this, 1,700 kilograms of ice in California, 1,700 kilograms, talking billions of dollars worth in street deals, and they were able to stop that from leaving California. So that's really the only hope we've got, because once it's in the air, these tiny little planes can drop off the radar and land anywhere.
Seb, an amazing story, mate. Thanks for joining us. Before you leave us, though, the biggest story today is, I believe, that you're flying to Alice Springs to actually taste and find out just how good the Kentucky Fried Chicken is, the KFC up there.
This is unbelievable. So Sam Edelman runs KFC Alice Springs. The nearest other KFC outlet to his is 1,200 kilometres away. So it's the most remote KFC in the world. And he's trying to get Michelin, you know, the posh food reviewers, to give him a star. So I'm flying there today to taste just how good his Zinger Burger actually is.
Well, please report back to us, because this is huge. Yeah,
I won't be using any rural airstrips in Queensland.
Good on you, Seb.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Triple M's very own Seb Costello. Rui, this cartel thing is massive, isn't it? The pure volume of the drugs that are arriving and the weapons as well.
How many planes would there be? You could just imagine this is exactly what movies are made of.
Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruins Hits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert. Let
your hang down. Sure, Brad.
We're still shell-shocked. Brad Ebert's come walking in without coffees.
Gloating about it as well.
You've already got concussion issues. You might just find out how you're going to respond to the next one.
Apparently he had coffees, though. Where have they got? What have you done with the coffees?
I dropped them off at Beck and Cozzy. Hit 107.
The opposition.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm gloating about it. Yep. Beck drunk yours, I think. Yep.
She's a Port supporter.
You've gone silent because you're about to hit me. I don't know.
I was just going to say, don't you like your front teeth?
Test me out.
Yeah. Now, what was the reaction in the change room? Obviously, the big changes last week that Ken Hinckley made.
Yes.
And it's paid off. Great win over Geelong.
Yeah, mate. That's. I guess you guys were talking about it Tuesday. You guys were up in a bit of a huff and a puff. And Kenny, you know,
he's not negative to it.
No, that's all. I think what you guys were talking about probably ended up happening a bit. I think that a few players, you know, ended up getting dropped. We brought a few more back in, and the boys responded. I don't think it had anything to do with the actual dropping itself, but I just think the boys were on a good page with, you know, taking the lessons out of the last few weeks and being able to really try and build some consistency and build some, I guess the consistency is the big one in that four quarter game. So I thought the boys responded well and did a good job.
Yeah, played really well. Now when that happens, you're in the change room during the week of training. Is there sort of a bit of whispering going on? Going, bloody hell, gee, what's happened? Or it must wake players up a little
Paddy's
bit.
Paddy's been dropped.
No, not particularly. Oh, like it. Yeah, it obviously you go like, oh, geez, all right, Paddy's been dropped. That's big. But at the same time, I think that
gee,
when you're all on
Evo's the same, I can't believe it.
Is that what happened in here? Is it? Is it?
How much did that cost him?
I think you sort of just, geez, all right, Paddy's been dropped a lot. Like, you sort of go up and say, hey, mate, like, sorry to see it. And you sort of just move on. I think that, you can't get stuck dwelling in those sort of situations. I think as a team, you know that there's always going to be changes and things are going to happen. The boys understood that their form wasn't fantastic. And so they were pissed off, as you'd expect, but they were okay. You know, that's they took it on the chin, and to their credits, they were fantastic teammates all week. So I think that I don't know what's going to happen this week, but
that's the big question.
They're ready to go
it?
Again.
Yep, yeah. That's the big question. Hey, well done to Ken Inkley. I thought you went in one tall short, but it proved me wrong. now this week he's saying they're not picking Ryder or Westhoff again, and they're going to go with either, I presume, either Frampton or Laddams. That's
because
surprising.
Dougal's out.
Yeah, well, with Dougal out for the week.
I'm surprised that they think two are next best in front, even though the other guys haven't played in their SANFL game. They've still got runs on the board.
Look, I haven't actually, we seriously have tried to not go through the match committee and stuff, or, releasing sort of teams and stuff this week too early. So I'm actually not 100% sold or sure on what's happening. But
of course you're not.
Yeah, of course. I'm always on a Thursday, aren't I? I don't give you too much, Roo. I'm quite happy with it. I don't think you would have given me much back in the day, would you? You wouldn't have given the radio.
I would have given you zero. Yeah, that's it.
But Peter Laddams and Billy Frampton are in good form. You look at Pistol, Peter. You look at what he's been able to do in the SNFL this year, and he's been, has been a really strong performer. So if he gets the nod, then I'm sure he'll come in.
All right, just be quiet so we can go and get a coffee because you didn't bring us one. we do factor in that you are going to bring a coffee.
I'm going to wait up here, so we might just stay on air for the next 5 minutes.
And we're not going to plug his wine today. Yeah.
There's a player that I want to see coming to the side this
week.
What
wine was that one,
by the way? I'll tell you. Oh, you're trying to catch us out.
You got a player that you want in
there? A player I want in the side. I'll tell you who it is next.
All right.
Ruined It's on Triple M with Brad Ebert.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Ruined it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert
takes the mark.
Ebert.
We're talking to the man who kicked zero goals and three points last week.
He's
Brett Ebert. Any chance you're going to learn to kick straight?
Oh, mate, I think you just called me Brett. No,
no, I didn't. I said Brad Ebert.
Yeah, I feel like I just have to deflect the attention there.
I've told you, I'll give you a lesson on how to kick straight.
Hey, mate, we've had this lesson.
Did you forget
in
about that after your concussions?
Nah, I didn't actually, but they were tough. There was one that I was really disappointed with.
Much better player when you kick three zip instead of zip three. You could actually win the game instead of nearly losing it.
Jeez, mate. Well, thank you for that. That's these are the type of kicking lessons he gives me.
It's very nasty when you don't do the right thing.
Oh, Roo, that's why you're sitting up here and not sitting down here down at Alberton with me.
Yeah,
come down
right.
And help me out on the oval, mate.
No, we'll do it at another place.
I went down there
last Saturday for this under-18s game.
Let me know next
Metro.
Time and I'll come out and I'll have a kick with you. I had Jars out a kick with me one time. Did I tell you that? This was a couple of years ago down at Henley Oval when the boys flew out to China. I had to stay behind because Leo was just born.
Yeah.
And they just said, look, mate, just go to the park, have a run around, take a footy and just have a couple shots on goal. And I was down there and there's big Andrew Newton Jarman. Big Papa Bear walking around with his big wide brim hat on. And I was like, what do we got here?
He's cricket.
Who's this character over the other side of the oval? Yeah. With his little dog Poppy or whatever it was. And,
Poppy?
And he's like, Ebo, let's have a kick, mate. Let's have a kick. Go, all right. Anyway, half an hour later, we were still kicking and he was trying to teach me. So anyway, next time you come down. You come help me.
I'll make a difference. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Now, Dits, who do you want in the side?
The player I want in the side?
Russell Ebert.
Yes. Hey, it was the 70th birthday.
Hang on, it was his 70th birthday the other day.
Did you know that?
70.
Yeah. 70th. We wished him happy 70th on the
Did you see the cake that he got?
Triple M.
He got the big feel good. He got a cake, mate. Oh, like the feel good cake. Big,
nice coffee.
Yeah. It wasn't actually made
milk.
Huh?
Oak milk cake.
Oh, of course. Oak milk. Yeah, oak milk. That's his favourite. Yes.
Yeah, that's his favourite.
Now, apart from Uncle Russ playing in the middle, I want Will and Drew in the side. I'm a big fan of Will and Drew.
Mate, he's a good player.
Last week, I got Joel Garner back in.
I reckon it was just you putting it out into the universe that I reckon got it over the line last week. So let's see if it happens this week.
But with all of the, Ruth has
said to me, Farrell out and Carl Amon, or you change your mind on those two?
Oh, what? So they have one good game and that's the whole career, is it?
They're young fellas. They're
building tough decisions, Ruth. Yes, you do. Kenny did last week.
Kenny did. He listened to you and he did. Yep. And got the results. So Yeah, Drewy's a good player, mate. I reckon he's a star. He's going to be a good, strong player of the future, and I think that at the moment he's building as well, so I'm not sure what'll happen.
Yeah, there. Before you leave, Western Bulldogs, obviously. So it's
You've
all
been
about,
going like this, Dits, haven't you?
Up and down. Side. Up and
down. I just saw that.
Did you see that graph?
Oh, no, I haven't actually.
Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah, win. Yeah. Well, let's make sure it's two wins then, hey?
Yeah.
That's,
Where were you?
Coming into the second half of the year, I really feel as if we've made a big emphasis on making sure that we just tidy up on a few of those little things. And then I guess you start getting some players back in the side. You've got a full list to pick from. So I'm confident that the consistency is building.
All right, before you leave us, Dan, you're a big podcast man. What have you been listening to?
Mate, well, I'm always coming with something. But that Peter Crouch podcast, I reckon soccer fans out there would love it.
Peter Crouch?
Peter Crouch is the big 200-centimetre lanky striker that plays everywhere in England. He's
played at Liverpool for a while.
Liverpool, he was at Tottenham, he's been at Stoke, he's now at Burnley.
So what's good about his podcast?
Oh, mate, he's classic. I don't know, he just talks a lot of shit and has a bit of fun. This is too early. I apologise, but he talks a lot of dribble and he talks every episode they have a different theme and it's quite funny. I reckon Dits and Roo, you should throw a few themes in there. It'd be quite funny.
Okay.
But pretty much he just talks about one episode was penalty shootouts and the next episode was Champions League and the next episode was the fitness guys and pretty much
cover all those themes.
Well, they talk about that for 10-15 minutes and then they just talk absolute, like I said, dribble.
We have that on Triple N.
This is what we talk about.
Theme train.
Oh, there you go. Well, this is what we talk about every Thursday.
All right. Just go and beat the Bulldogs, and kick straight, will you?
Well, that's just wanted to know what I was up to. I was listening to a random podcast, driving up to the Barossa to pick my pick my lineup.
Good on you, Evo.
He's on something today. What's going on?
Why am I funny? What's happened?
He's over the concussion. Well and truly. You know what, I'm backing you to kick three this week, Evo. Get on. Saturday night on Triple M footy.
You know, just on your way out, if you could get online and vote for me, please. This is Triple M's least ugly. Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. I went the other way.
Roo's beating me.
You vote for Jazz.
Buddy, Jazz, that bald head, it's good.
Well, then vote for me this week if you like bald heads.
Who are you against?
Get out. Dits.
In
the final.
Yeah, nice. All right. Well, I'll vote for Roo there.
So. Yeah.
Actually, hang on a second. You were paying me out about no coffees. Dits is my
man.
Thank you. Dits is my man.
Actually, you kick with the wind
a bit,
don't
you? Up and down.
Yeah.
You got to go back to the doctors, mate.
Yeah.
This is shambolic. Let's move on.
It's been a good morning. I've been up too long.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Good morning, Lemo.
G'day, guys. Hello, Roo. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Lemo.
And Chris Dittmar. Well, I'll tell you what, I have been flat this week.
What?
I have been absolutely flat.
Why?
Beaten by Chris Dittmar in the ugly off. That has got to be the biggest upset since Australia 2 won the America's Cup. Seriously, we've got a bloke here, Roo. The last time he was under 100 kilos, Harold Holt was still alive. Seriously. He's like the love child of Jabba the Hutt, and he beat me in an ugly off. I mean, Roo, when Dits walks into a restaurant, he doesn't ask for a menu, he asks for an estimate. I mean, this is a bloke that could sell shade. How
his shadow weighs 30 kilos.
I tell you what, he needs a boomerang to put a belt on.
Please.
He irons his pants in the driveway. I can't believe I was beaten by him.
But you've taken it well.
Oh, God. But you know what? I take some solace in the thought that the voting process was honest and independent, and the votes of the people counted in the end. I know this isn't Hey, by the way, guys, who is the final two? Who are the last two in this competition?
Well, no surprise, it's us two. Head to head.
Oh, come on. This is a rot.
This has got fixed up written all over it.
This has got Russian hacking written on What a joke. Oh, Lance Armstrong is looking at you two and shaking his head going, guys, come on.
We've flown in the electoral commission from the last Iraqi federal election to oversee it.
Welcome to Triple M Baghdad.
Lemo, this has got that competition where Dits it's cost a bloke $1 million written all over it.
Has it ever? Hey, you guys did the phoner earlier today. Yeah. When have you lost a heap of money? I noticed Ditz didn't mention that at the time, did he?
I reminded him at the end, don't worry.
Where's old mate from Shido Park? I cost him $1 million. Actually, while I was listening to that phoner you did earlier about what's the most amount of money you've lost.
Yeah.
No, did anyone mention firepower during that
time? Yes,
yeah, I did.
Yep, I'm still reliving it, Limo, day after day. Don't worry, I haven't...
Hey, Roo, I was doing some cleaning up with my wife the other day.
Oh,
and
yeah, here we go again.
I was in her...
Trying to get over it.
She was moving some books out of a bookshelf and she put the firepower book was in there.
Burn it.
She goes, do you get a mention in this? I said, yes, I do.
Move on. Tell us about your dog, Limo.
A little bit of bedtime reading. Hey, earlier today, you guys were chatting to Seb Costello about the fact that this story that small planes are being flown into Australia by drug lords.
Yes.
Into country areas in Australia.
Yep.
And I thought, that's fascinating because, you know, my brother who's home on the farm, he just bought himself a Ferrari. And I said to him, haven't we had a drought for the last 2 years? He goes, oh, no, just saved a bit of money. It's all good.
Just helping out the community with a bit of pilot training.
Hey, but it made me think of a story from last weekend. There's a sniffer dog in the States. His name's Gunner. And he's a jet sniffer dog, one of the best going around. And on the weekend,
good set of nostrils on.
Good set of nostrils. They were chasing these guys through a forest somewhere in Washington State, and Gunner sniffed out $1 million worth of meth that these guys had tried to hide in the forest.
Gunner.
Yeah, oh no, he's pretty happy with himself, old Gunner. I mean, don't expect him to sleep until Christmas, but he did manage to find
good
it.
Good guard dog.
And I tell you, they tried to give him a couple of days off. He's very keen to get back on the job. And later on, he held a press
workaholic
conference. He held a press conference. This is what Gunner had to say.
You know who he sounds like? You know who he sounds like?
Who's that?
Brad Ebert, who was just on here. I tell you what, he needs to be swabbed at the moment. What is going on with Ebert?
Oh, he's had a couple of headaches. They've just given him a couple of little tablets.
I don't know what the doctor gave him to get over it, but I want some.
Didn't he walk in with a fistful of coffees? Is that his problem? Hey, on the dogs, very quickly, I was taking our dog. We've got a staffy. I was taking the dog for a walk a couple of days ago in Melbourne, freezing cold, and the wife says to me, you can't leave the house like that. I said, what do you mean? She said, you have to put a jumper on the dog.
So
she gave me a knitted pink jumper that I had to put on the dog.
You didn't.
On a staffy.
You didn't.
That's like a fluffy woolen seat and handlebar tassels on a Harley.
You didn't, did you?
But hey, here's the funny thing that'll tell you a bit about where I live. So I'm walking down the street, down at the park, and someone points at the jumper, and they don't say, what's with the jumper on the dog? They point and they say, are your jumpers inside out? I put it on inside.
Get out of here, Lama. You're embarrassing yourself.
Hey guys,
changed.
Good luck with your ugly off.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't wait to see who's the bigger cheat out of the two of you.
Good on you, Lama. Thanks for joining us, mate. We'll catch you next. Oh, we won't catch you next Monday. We'll catch you in a few weeks.
In a couple of weeks. Have a good break, guys.
Yeah, we'll catch you from where are we going?
Hamilton Island.
Hamilton Island.
I didn't want to drop that yet, but yeah, we're off to Hamilton Island.
That's
yeah,
all the best up there.
That's all right.
Ruined It's on Triple M.
In the lead up to Triple M's No Talk Day, Roo and Ditz are delving into mental health all this week.
Yeah, in fact, Roo, not far away from talking to John, who heads up SA Brothers, where they've got 20,000 members.
Mm.
They do an outstanding job. They help people in all sorts of areas.
I'd never heard about them until last week.
Great organisation. So John will tell us all about it. I just want to talk about tomorrow, though, Roo, a real, real special interview. Someone that you and I know quite well has offered to come in and talk about his issues. Now, this is a well-known celebrity, a TV and radio personality, who was sacked from his job because of his behaviour. And it turns out that it was connected to mental health. He was addicted to gambling, addicted to drugs and alcohol, lost his job, lost his wife, so his marriage was over as a result of his addictions as well. He's just recently been to rehab and has returned, and he's going to tell us all about it tomorrow. And Roo, he's actually said to you and I, you can ask anything, so it'll be no holds barred. It'll be at around about 7:30 tomorrow. So a well-known Adelaide identity is going to reveal all.
Wow.
Go back about a fortnight ago, you might remember, our listeners will remember, we met Didgeridoo Man.
Yeah, we did.
And that was Kim O'Brook, who in the western suburbs had that incident about a home invader. But having met Kim and getting to talk to him, he told us about SA Brothers.
Yeah.
And we wanted to find out more. John Denham is the founder of SA Brothers, and he's on the line. John, good morning.
Morning, lads. How you going?
Good. Now, Kim mentioned to us things like meeting at a pub down the port, and he told us about different members that you've got. Tell us a little bit about the organisation, what you do, how many members?
Yep. So we've got 20,000 members now.
20,000 members?
In just over 18 months. So that's with no real backing either. So that's all just word of mouth and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
20,000. That's a huge amount.
So we're a not-profit organisation dedicated to reducing the stigma that surrounds men's mental health by creating a non-judgmental platform and providing support to all those in need. Pretty much, in layman's terms, it's about removing the stigma that still surrounds men's health, helping blokes speak up when the times are tough, and we use social media as that platform to provide that non-judgmental way, no matter what their background, age, race, sexual orientation or religion or anything like that. This is a space for blokes to be blokes and seek advice.
So how does it work? I mean, how I just can't believe you got 20,000 members that quickly. Why is it so good, SA Brothers?
We're pretty strict. Well, not strict, but we vet all the member requests pretty deep. So, you know, the worst thing that we don't want to happen is someone who comes into the group that's in a vulnerable position, and then someone trolls their post asking for help and that sort of stuff. That, you know, that's never gonna end well. So, you know, we've got a code of conduct that we live by, and yeah, that it's pretty. Like I said, everyone takes care of everyone. So, we hear about it through a lot of other pages. People come and find us through other members promoting us, and that sort of stuff. So. Yeah.
Now, John, from what I've read, it's not only about, I know that the mental health issue is a real focus, but I've read where you've helped different members through other hardships as well. I think I've read about a terminally ill person who you helped pay for their wedding. I think there was someone that lost a baby and you helped raise money for them. Am I right in saying that you cover all sorts of issues?
Yeah. So our main focus is the men's mental health sort of stuff, but it's all about bringing blokes together for good causes, like that sort of stuff. So we've assisted a heap of blokes with employment and help improve their lives with ongoing support with food parcels and emergency clothing and vouchers and that sort of stuff. We've got a Red Cross blood donation team. We've done $3,000 for Movember last year. We've helped Salisbury RSL and Northfield RSL, especially Northfield. We came in when they were near financial collapse and we do weekly meets there. We crowdfunded the funeral of a member's baby boy who was sadly lost in a car accident. And we've done Anzac Day barbecues for the RSLs, helped MND with barbecue fundraisers as well. Put on a big family day last year that we put on for all the community. If you didn't have a Christmas show, this was for you pretty much, and to thank everyone for their support for the past 12 months. That was at Bonython Park. That was pretty big.
John, how do you do all this? So is this your job? What motivates you to help out so many people?
No. So myself and the other seven blokes that help run the page, we've all got full-time jobs around this.
So you do this in your spare time?
Yeah, so between my main job and this, it keeps me pretty busy. And the others as well. Like it's 24/7 sometimes. You can imagine we get some pretty vulnerable blokes that come in and that need support.
Wow.
So it's non-stop.
Hey, this is amazing what you're doing.
Yep.
And the amount of members tells more stories, doesn't it, Ditz, that 20,000
yep.
people
Incredible.
Need support in South Australia. John, you and your seven mates doing an awesome job, and we'll spread the word for you.
No worries. Anyone that wants to join, they can go to Facebook and just type in SA Brothers into the search bar, or we've got www.sabrothers.com.au as well.
Now, see where this was established in 2017, and in that time, right, to get 20,000 members is an extraordinary success story. It really is. Well done, John. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me, lads.
Good on you, mate. Good on you, Johnny. John Denham, the founder, one of the founders of SA Brothers.
If you or anyone you know is struggling with some of these issues, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast.